Thank you, choir. Wonderful, wonderful. Please pray with me. Lord, as we hear your word proclaimed, open our hearts, stir our minds, and empower us to respond with your grace. Amen. Listen to the second Old Testament reading that comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've been talking for the past few weeks about being a disciple of Jesus, responding to God's call to ministry, and fitting into God's plan and purpose for our lives. For some of us, that may seem a little overwhelming or daunting, and some of us may feel nervous or afraid about the unknown future or the necessary changes in our lives that following Jesus might bring. I've found that when I feel that way, Jesus assures me with the promise, and I pass this promise along to you: "Fear not, I am with you." I found that when I stand on Jesus' promise and I trust Jesus as my Lord, then the Holy Spirit begins to fill me with his power, his presence, and with courage to face the future with the confident assurance that God is indeed with me. Courage is the strength of mind and determination of heart that inspires people to action in obedience to God's direction. Psalm 31:24 is where God's promise says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Courage is not a feeling. It is an action. People who are courageous do something. People who are cowardly do nothing. God's promise says to take action and God will strengthen your heart. Most of us want to feel brave in our hearts before we take action. If you ask a person who has done something courageous, "How did you feel at the time?" they will usually tell you that they were scared to pieces or didn't have time to think. The common expression in the Old Testament was, "Be strong and courageous." In the New Testament, Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Repeatedly hearing God's encouraging word inspired the soldiers of Israel to face military battles. God's word infused them with God's courage. Soldiers became courageous when they were told again and again that their strength and determination came not from within themselves, but from God. We are not born into courage. God puts His courage within us when we need it. God is our initiative. God provided the initiative for Abram and Sarai when they left home and family and friends and country to begin their journey to the land that God had promised. God told Moses to lead the people out of Egypt and slavery. It was God who provided for them as they traveled to the promised land. God gave David victory over Goliath. God gave David and led David to use a slingshot against a man fighting with a spear. It is God who is the courage and the instruction that we need. As we obey God, it is God who provides the courage as He leads us in His time, in His way, and in His plan for us. We can't separate courage from God. The person who is truly courageous is the person who has beefed up on God's word, the Bible, to supply and nourish his heart. A courageous Christ follower is the one who asks God to make his or her spirit strong by the Holy Spirit's presence day by day and moment by moment. They are the people who you won't hear saying, "I could never tell anyone about Jesus because I don't know how." If they don't know how, they'll learn a few Bible verses so they do know how. They won't say, "I can't afford to tithe," or "I'm too old to memorize Bible verses." Courageous Christ followers are more than heroes in an emergency. Besides receiving their strength from God, courageous Christ followers have a strong moral character that can stand strong in the face of unpopularity and abuse and hostility. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Being a Christ follower is a war with the devil. It's good to know that you have an enemy. It's good to know who your enemy is. And it's good to be angry at your enemy, the devil. Anger is a wonderful, rousing emotion that drives us to decision. Anger against the devil and all of his lies and tricks makes us willing to take a loss in order to win the war. Lord, let that loss be our sins, and please give us the strength to stand against the devil so that you receive the victory. Amen. Psalm 31, 24 in the King James Version says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." The attitude that goes with that verse is the motto of the Special Olympic athletes. Their motto is, "Let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. Let me be brave in the attempt." How much do you like to win? The Bible tells us that God does not coddle cowards. Revelation 21:8 has a list of people who are not going to heaven, and the cowardly are up at the top of the list. Does that mean that you go around wearing a t-shirt that says no fear written on it and live completely without fear? No. There is a time for fear. The Bible is full of verses that command us to fear God. Fearing God means placing a trusting respect in God's authority. I'll say that again. Fearing God means placing a trusting respect in God's authority. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14 says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." It's important for us to recognize God's authority over us, because there will be a judgment day. A day when God confirms for us the decision that we make during this life of whether or not we love Jesus and obey the Bible. In Jeremiah 1:17 that we read a little while ago, in the Living Bible, God gives Jeremiah fair warning that if he's disobedient to God, after God gives him the courage that he needs, then God will make a fool of him in front of his enemies. The NIV version says, "I will terrify you in front of them." King James says, "I will confound thee before them." Modern language says, "I will ruin you in their presence." And the RSV says, "I will dismay you before them." No matter which version you read, the point is the same. Obey God. And don't fear those who try to bully you into not obeying God. I've found that if I am disobedient to God, after God gives me the courage to stand firm on his word, the Bible, then God promises that my lack of faith and trust in God will cause me to be publicly exposed. The Bible is clear that he will expose us in front of those people who are waiting and hoping to see us fail. Do you like winning? Those words in the Bible make a fool of us, confound us, ruin us, dismay us, terrify us in front of them. Those are all words that describe the worst possible embarrassment. It sounds like losing. It's still God's warning to us. God said to Jeremiah, "Get up, get dressed. Go out and tell them what I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of them, or I will make a fool of you in front of them." Jeremiah did what God instructed. Jeremiah took a stand for God. God expects us to take a stand just the way he tells us to. Jesus took a stand for us. Jesus was obedient to God's plan for his life. It took courage for Jesus to set his face toward Jerusalem, where he knew that a painful death awaited him. In fact, when Jesus was praying in the garden, he was praying for God's courage. He said, "Please, let this cup of suffering pass from me." And Jesus was still standing on God's promise of unfailing love when he finished the prayer by saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus was publicly mocked, beaten, and tortured to death so that we could be restored to God. Jesus did not die for anything that he had done wrong. Jesus is the perfect Son of God who never sinned in his life. He could have called 10,000 angels to get him out of that mess. Jesus voluntarily and willingly died an excruciating death so that we could be saved from the eternal death sentence that our sin requires. God loves us that much. Jesus rose from the dead so that by our faith and trust in Jesus, we may not only receive the promise and hope of eternal life in heaven when we die, but also the freedom from living in fear and the courage that stands strong in the face of fear while we live. God expects us to take a stand. Either we stand with our Lord Jesus, or we stand against him. But I promise you this, when you stand with the Lord, you are a winner. Jeremiah had to make the decision. I have to make the decision. You have to make that decision too. Your physical life may not be in jeopardy because of your faith, but you are still left with the daily choices of trusting God, and some of those choices will take great God-given courage. Courage is not a feeling. It is an action. Do you trust God to provide for your needs? Do you trust God with your wallet? Or your checkbook? Do you trust God enough to tithe 10% to the church on a regular basis like God instructs us in Malachi 3:10? Do you turn to God with your fears and your bad memories? God can heal your bad memories. God can make you able to overcome your bad memories. Do you trust God with your secret sins, your secret hatreds, and your secret loves? Do you confess those secret sins to God and ask him to forgive you? Do you? These secret sins are often what rob us of our courage and our power in prayer. God promises that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you trust God to keep this promise? As long as we are fitting into God's plan for our lives and being obedient to God's direction for us and not charging off on our own, then God gives us the faith and the courage that enable us to face the most troubling and difficult of our enemies and circumstances. God gives us his courage to stand in front of our enemies or just disagreeable people, and stand firm on his only word, the Bible. Just because we don't feel courageous and strong of heart does not mean that God is not supplying our needs. Did you hear that? Just because we don't feel courageous and strong of heart does not mean that God is not supplying our needs. Don't let your feelings fool you. Courage is not a feeling, it is an action. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Sometimes you just have to take that step of courage before you feel God strengthening your heart. We only have to supply the willingness for God to lead us one step at a time to be used by God and for God's purposes. As you read the Bible, you find that God does not always explain himself when he tells us what to do. Sometimes we are left with more questions than answers. Sometimes we have to trust God with the answers that he gives us. God opens our eyes to his plan in his time and not ours. I know a song that says, "And you will show me all your plans as I go from day to day. You'll show me the way from day to day." Be of good courage. Take action. And God shall strengthen your heart one day at a time and one victory at a time. God gives us the courage to invite him into our hearts. God gives us, through Jesus, the courage to believe in and to pray to God whom we've never seen. God gives us, through Jesus, the courage to admit and confess our sins to him and then believe that we are forgiven. God gives us the courage to want to change so that we can fit into God's plan for us, whatever God's plans may be. God will give you the joy and peace of knowing that Jesus walks close beside you according to his word. If you've never turned to Jesus, or if you need to return to Jesus in order to receive the joy and the peace of Jesus walking beside you, you must first believe in the risen Lord. You must believe in the risen Lord Jesus enough to pray to him. I have to leave that between you and God. It's your prayer to pray. But I can promise that God is listening, and he's waiting, and then he's inviting you to talk with him. That's all I have to say about that. Glory to God.